Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour Radio right here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. Thank you so much. Hey, really want to throw a shout out there for all the people that were rushing during the fire season. I mean, like, we obviously have the Thomas Fire, which was devastating, and all of a sudden we had fires up north, which is devastating, and of course the fires in Colorado. It just seems to be the season right now. You know, so it's very dangerous, very hot, and those who are working really hard behind the lines, thank you from all of us and showing our appreciation. Today on my show, I have Jadine Solberg. You guys remember her from Northern Nevada Ghost Hunters and some of the events that we've done over the years, so I'm really glad to have her on. One of the events we're going to be talking about is a special event that she's doing called A Haunting on the Comstock Hills. It's going to be coming up in Virginia City. So let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and bring her on the show and get her into the room with us. So, one second. Jadine, are you out there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I saw you popping in and out a couple of times. I don't know if you're losing the signal or what happened, but I'm glad you're here now with us, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. Hey, everybody.
Hey there. Awesome. You know, I was just telling everybody, you know, you've been on the show a couple of times, and we talked about multiple things. I talk about some of the paracons that I've been to a lot over the years, and, you know, running into you always is a great joy. You know, we talk about the gatherings of the paracons and stuff, and most of us who do a lot of the paracons look at it as a family reunions because we see each other like maybe once or twice a year. You know, and, you know, you become family to us, of course. And, you know, my wife's always asking about, hey, have you heard from JD and how is she and Jilly and everything and what's going on? And so she's excited to hear that you're on the show tonight as well. And, but, you know, you're doing these incredible events, and I'm really excited to let people know about them and talk a little bit more about them. But for those people who are listening out there, if you can kind of give a quick background about how you got involved in the paranormal, for those who haven't already heard that story.
Well, I really don't have like an ooh-ah moment. I kind of watched it on TV on the original Taps. You remember that old program, The Ghost Hunters? And I thought, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But you have to know something about me. I am the biggest baby. I will be the first to run out of the building if something touches me, talks to me, whatever. But I thought, what the heck? And this was going on 14 years ago. I started watching it on TV, and I thought, I love history. Why not see what's out there? So I got a hold of a local Nevada author. She kind of turned me on to some people that were like-minded and very much into the paranormal. I don't want to say tourism, but the paranormal itself. And from there, it just blossomed. It's like I have been so blessed with the most incredible people that I've been able to meet. Like you said, Stefan, when we go to these paracons, it's like family. It's like we know about each other's lives. Yes, most of it's on Facebook, but we know what's going on, and we kind of value each other's opinions, and I just love it. So that's kind of my background story. I don't have an ooh-ah moment. Nothing touched me. Nothing came out at me. It was just like, I want to go into cool buildings. I want to do that. So that's basically my startup.
Well, that's a good story because, you know, I was talking to someone today about investigating and stuff and talking about some of the paracons and saying, yeah, we're going to be going into a mine and be doing events and stuff like that. And they're like, well, that's got to be interesting. I'm like, well, it is interesting, but I just love being in that environment, taking a step back in time, like places like Virginia City where you're driving through the canyon, all of a sudden you come around the bend and you're just in these old-looking buildings and everything's just like a throwback in time. And when you're there, you feel that. So whether you're going through the mines or just exploring some of the old buildings, you get that impression. You know, and if something happens while you're in there, that's even better, you know. But just being in that environment and experiencing the history is amazing in itself.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've lived up in Nevada now for, I think, going on 23, 24 years. I'm a native Bay Arean, and, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area. So when I moved up here, you have all of this rich history everywhere in Nevada, whether it be down in the Vegas area or up here in the northern Nevada area. So I was pretty pretty impressed that I was able to go to almost 25 miles each way of my home at the time and be able to be back in history. Like you say, step back in time. Now, growing up as a kid, I got to go to Virginia City all the time with my brothers and my mom and my dad. So it's always been one of my favorite places. Then when I started really like looking at the history and going into the older buildings and meeting the locals, that has been phenomenal because those people have lived there. They live this every single day. So it's just awesome having Virginia City in my backyard.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, I'm pretty far away from all that stuff. I'm about a 9-hour drive. But I love driving up there. I don't mind the drive because, you know, you go through the Sierra Nevadas, you're just getting this beautiful countryside, stopping at Bodie on the way up, you know, which is great all the time. And then finally getting into Virginia City where it's just, it's one of those places where you go to and it kind of feels like home, you know?
Right.
Like when I'm there, I'm really comfortable. I could totally stay there. I have no problem.
Exactly. And, you know, I do believe in, I'm a spiritualist, so I do believe everything happens for a reason. And I do believe that one of my past lives, I was up there. You know, I really believe that with all my heart. But what's more interesting is everybody that has joined my group or has become part of the NNGH family, we all have that connection with the Comstock that it's like home. It's like going home. And whether we're staying at the Silver Queen or we're staying at, you know, what is the place called down the Silverland, the rich, you know, the richy part of it, it's awesome.
Uh-huh.
So it is home, definitely home.
Yeah, and you can just go investigate anywhere you want there because it's all haunted, so why not? Even the streets, I know they shut down early at night, and there's only a few people walking around, but when you're there at night, you just feel like there's people still passing you on the boardwalks and all that stuff. So
absolutely,
it gives you that whole total environment still. Like, things are still happening, things are going on. And it's, you know, people get freaked out by it, but it feels like a lot of good energy. Like, a lot of people, you're just kind of passing by, checking things out. Like I said, I feel real comfortable there every time I go.
absolutely. You know, Jillie and I go up there. Well, you know, we run the ghost tours up there up at the Gold Hill. So we get to go up there a couple times a month. But even on our days off, you know, we want to go hang out at Red's Candy and have their homemade candy and their great sandwiches. Or we want to go to the Washoe Club. And, you know, there's just so many things to do, so many different things to do. And we have so many people that we've been able to network with that own some of the claims up there. So we got to go to places that you could only look at and think, wow, I want to go there. We've actually been able to go there. So totally awesome.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, just being that close to it and being able to be one of the tour guides, obviously the Gold Hill is an incredible place. I've stayed there, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 times in a row now, because I just like that place. I'm trying to stay in all the haunted rooms there just to get my experience. And, of course, the Miner's Cabin, I had an incredible time last time I was in there during that snowstorm, which was just a blast. I got some strange stuff in there. We'll talk about it when I come up and see you. So let's talk about Northern Nevada Ghost Hunters. You know, you were saying you didn't have one of those moments that kind of just those ooh-ah kind of moments where something happened. But obviously you're inspired. You want to go check out the historical places and put yourself in that environment. When you started doing the Northern Nevada Ghost Hunters, how did you go about selecting the proper people for the team?
Well, you know, we've had some ins and outs over the years. Like I said, we're going on our 14th year. I'm going to say the first 4 or 5 years were kind of testy, a lot of personalities, and I really didn't know what I was doing as far as running a group. And what inspired me was meeting people like Doug Carnahan and Ellen McFarlane and people that have had groups before. And I really went to them, Gloria Young, who has now passed away. I kind of challenged them, like, what do I do? How do I keep my group running, long running? How do I go about it? And they all gave me awesome advice about pick the people that speak to you, and not just speak to you word for word, that speaks to your soul. So if I've learned to read energy, so the way I've picked my people from here is if they are interested, I'll definitely listen to them. I'll interview them. Jillie and I have got a process set up now. We usually meet at Denny's and have pancakes. She's nodding her head. And we'll just kind of talk. We'll kind of find out who they are. Why are they interested in the paranormal? What are their missions in life? And we don't always agree to disagree. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we're not roses and bubbles. We're not at all. But we're passionate about preserving history. We're passionate about the paranormal. We come from all different walks of life, all different cultures, all different religions or non-religions, all different backgrounds. And that's what makes us unique and long-running in here, is because my team are real. Every one of them have the biggest heart. They will go out of their way to help anybody at any time. And they will fight for what they believe in. And again, we agree to disagree a lot. We're on both sides of the fence as far as political, so we try not to talk about politics at all. But it's just interesting to find these people that touch your soul.
That's a good one. And, you know, and like you said, you know, putting a good team together is all about finding the right combination. You know, you come across a lot of people and things seem good at first, but, you know, Where are they really coming from? What are they really looking for? And if part of that quest can help with your team, you know, of course you want to bring them on and see how it's going to work. And, you know, I've done the same way. I've gone through multiple members, you know, over the past 20 coming up on 28 years. Yeah, like I just got real old all of a sudden. But anyway, like, ouch. But, yeah, you know, you come across different people who are different phases of looking for the answers or whatever they're trying to do, whether it's somebody who's had an experience is looking for more information about that, or someone who thinks they've had experience and looking for information and trying to learn a little bit about it, or even you know, I've gone through the guys that were the skeptics who are real tech savvy, who are interested to see how the tech works in an environment like that. So finding the right combination, you know, is always kind of a trick. And when you get it, it's fantastic to see everybody work as a unit and a team doing their thing and just how the how smoothly things go. So I'm glad that you found the right people that you feel most comfortable with.
Absolutely, and we're always evolving. I want my team to grow. If we're not the right team for them, go on. You know, move on to someone that, that is the right team for them. I totally believe in growth. I never want people that do not want to be in my circle. And I don't mean that in a bad way and in a critical way. I mean it in a, I want you to grow. Whatever makes your soul happy is where I want you to be. If it's with my team, awesome. But if it's not, hey, you always have a home with me. Like I said, we've had challenges, Stefan, and those challenges I've learned from. I've learned to listen to my gut. If you're not a right fit for the team, you could be a friend of NNGH. You know, come to our events, hang out with us. You're just not going to be a core part of our team. And I always say core part because every one of my members is a core part of my team. We come, we have different strengths. And I really like that. Right now, our challenge is techie because we're old school. You know, give me an old voice recorder, give me an old K2, dowsing rods, pendulum. That's our equipment. Don't get me wrong. We do have some cool equipment. But when people come to us saying, oh, do you have this and do you have that? It's like, no, we don't. We go off of what we feel and what we believe. We never ask anybody to believe what we believe, but that's what we do is we're old school.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You know, you don't need to go out and buy thousands and thousands of dollars of all those great, fun toys like I do. but it's really all about finding the tools that work best for you. Some of the newer people are always putting down dowsing rods or whatever, and it's like, you know what? This is working. This is getting responses. So if it's working, then just go for it. Pendulum's the same way. A lot of people are like, well, you can't tell because of the movement and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, ask 10 questions. How many results are you getting out of the 10 questions? You know, and that's part of the research. I don't see, and I say this all the time, I see a lot of investigators, but I don't see a lot of researchers. Nobody's really writing down the different variances. Okay, we went at night and we tried this. This is our results. Went during the day and got this. This is our results, you know, that kind of stuff. And that goes with equipment, too. Is the K2 really working for you, or is it not giving you the evidence you're looking for? Try something else. You know, and that's the important thing about being an investigator is trying different techniques and learning from it and seeing what really happens.
Yeah, absolutely. It's during our ghost tours, we do like a short little paranormal 10-minute 101 where we talk about the different equipment that we might be using. And a lot of people like that feeling. They want to feel that energy. So then it goes back to old school. You could either use yourself, you could use a K2, you could use a pendulum, you could use whatever you want, whatever gets you that information. But you're absolutely right. You have to do your research. Be a smart consumer and be that way on any kind of team that you're looking for or any kind of ghost hunt. Be a smart consumer. If it reaches out to you, do it, period.
That's right, because that could be your tool, the one that works best for you. That's your thing. You know, some I've seen other people use different tools, and, you know, they're not getting the results they're looking for, so there might be something else they need to use. I use some of the newer tools, but I use the older tools, too, as well. I've done, you know, scrying and that kind of stuff with the water and, you know, have people make their homemade, you know, Ouija boards or the spirit boards and stuff. I've even put the cork in the water with letters around it to see if it points to you. That's interesting, just trying different things, using bells and stuff, because you never really know what's going to work, and sometimes the older stuff is easier for them to use. I've brought some of my Poltercom to an investigation one time, and it's this really antique-looking radio thing, and it's got lights and all the meters, and it's got EMF sensors in it, plus a spirit box in it. But at one point, one of the psychics was saying, well, she's over there and she's trying to use the thing, but she doesn't know how to use it. She thinks it's like a phone and she's trying to talk into it and it's not working. So she's getting upset. And maybe that's the thing. Maybe these new machines that we're putting out there are just confusing some of these older spirits, and they like the pendulum makes it easier or something simple like that, or even the dowsing rods. They can focus their energy and use that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I started using crystals about, I want to say, 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm by no means expert at this, but it works for me, and it works to help me with energy and bring in energy and get rid of energy. So you have to do what is right for you or right for your team. That's just the bottom line. And like you said, some of the older spirits, I could absolutely see why they don't want to see those flashing lights. But then again, if it's a child spirit, who knows? They might want to see flashing lights. I kind of chalk it up to what would I like. And I have a great example. One of the vendors that I met, his name is Mike Murray, and he does P-Tech.
Yeah, Mike Murray is listening right now. He's listening right now. He's one of our sponsors.
Oh, yay! He's one of our sponsors, too, for our event. Hi, Mike! I sat across from him at Doug Carnahan's last Paracon up in Virginia City, and he had the most amazing equipment. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, for me, just looking at it, I was so attracted to that. And then I got to thinking about it. It's like, you know, some of the older energies that are up in Virginia City or Gold Hill or anywhere for that matter across the world, they probably would be attracted to blinky lights or flashy sounds or something. I know I'm attracted to it, so why wouldn't they be? I know I'm an energy source, so why wouldn't they be attracted to that? So you have to kind of look to see what works and what doesn't work and what's working at that time.
I totally agree. And like you said, you know, who are you trying to make contact with? Is it a kid? They're going to like blinky lights and little things like that, or versus an adult who's kind of weird about it. It's like, well, what is this thing? I have a full spectrum wand that I take to some locations. And there's settings on it where I could put it, and it blinks, and it does flashing and changes colors. It's really cool looking for kids, and I've been successful in different locations with it. But I went to the Queen Mary, and I tried to get Jackie, that's in the first class swimming pool, to play with it, and she wouldn't go near it. Like everyone was saying that she was afraid of it, so it might have been too much for her. But I've taken these devices to, like, the Stanley Hotel and stayed on the children's floor and stuff, and everything was lighting up. It was like a playground. It was just absolutely crazy how much was going on. And they were just like interested in the lights. And they're like, wow, look at this toy. Look at what it does. It's cool. It makes this noise. Wow. You know, so that's really cool.
Absolutely. And you know, it's also the person that attracts some of the spirits. We've got people on our team that, Michelle LeBaron, that are ghost magnets, you know, and I know that if I bring them in, usually we'll get activity, and I like to bring them in on our ghost tours because they do bring that energy in. I do believe everybody's a light source or has their own shining light, shall we say, especially when you open yourself up to the paranormal. I think the spirits know, and they'll trust you a little bit more because your light shines a little bit brighter. So it goes both ways. Is it yourself as a light, or is it the blinky thing that Mike does, you know? So it's very cool having both spectrums.
Yeah, you never really know what's happening. And Michelle's got a great personality out there, so I'm sure all the kids are going to be attracted to her. Like, hey, she's fun. Let's hang out with her, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, you know, absolutely. We did a Paranormal 101 at the Boys and Girls Club here in Carson City a couple months ago, and we asked her to come with us. And I'm telling you, she was the hit because she does attract those people. She does attract those energies. And kudos for her because she could do that. And I know now she wants to teach children the paranormal. And sometimes that could be dangerous, but sometimes it can't be. I mean, we have a junior team. We just know our limits. We respect the limits. Let me put it that way. We respect parents and we respect the kids.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I used to have a junior division on my team, you know, for ones that were under 18 that wanted to learn about it. but there were a lot of restrictions. I couldn't take them to a private residence where something's a little bit more intense, you know, the aggressive type of hauntings. I can't put anybody in danger. I worry about some of the investigations we've done with my team even, because how's their health right now? How are they feeling? Are they able to put up with something like this? Because you never really know, and you can't put kids in danger, but you can help educate them on the equipment and the practices and the mindset to be open to understanding what's happening in the paranormal.
Absolutely, and, you know, it's come to the forefront in the last couple of years, the paranormal safety or the paranormal 101 safety, and mm-hmm. there's a couple different people out there that I've actually befriended, and we talk a lot about paranormal safety, and I think every team that's ever going to start up should know about some of the dangers that could happen, whether it be physical or metaphysical or, you know, psychological. You need to know the dangers of ghost hunting or paranormal investigations, period. You just need to know it.
Yeah, absolutely. Safety is the most important thing. A lot of people don't realize that. Because you see these shows, you know, about ghost stories, haunting, and so forth, and they're always showing these teenagers that are out for a wild time, and they're going to go hang out at the cemetery and or break into this old house that they were scared of, and things happen. You know, it's all about teaching the safety, especially if they're young and they can understand about safety. That helps protect them and others that might investigate with them as well, since we're all running around these abandoned buildings in the dark, which are totally dangerous. You know, got to be safe, not only for physical safety in an environment you're walking through the darkness, but like you said, the psychological aspects of what can happen, whether it's an aggressive spirit who's trying to attach itself to you, or something a little bit more menacing. We don't really know, but it can leave that impression on you, that mark that stays with you a while, and you got to learn to shake it off and, you know, learn to protect yourself when going into an environment like that. I think a lot of the stuff we see on these TV shows don't really focus enough about that. Ghost adventures. We all know, you know, they film a lot and they show a lot, but they never focus on the stuff they do. And those guys do protect themselves before doing the shoots and warming up to it a couple days before that. But they don't really talk about them on the show, and it'd be great if they did so other people will understand what they're dealing with.
You know, that brings up a really good point, Stefan. During Doug Carnahan's Paracon that he had up here, I have never been one to believe in attachments because it's never happened to me. And the people that have been attached, I'm not familiar with. So I wasn't familiar with it at all. And something happened to me over this last time that I still to this day can't explain. And I thought I was prepared. I mean, I've been doing this for going on 14 years. I protect myself with crystals. I protect myself with the light of God. I have my surroundings. I'm grounded. But that particular night, I was not, and it was devastating for me, almost to the point where I wanted to quit the paranormal. Julie took me back to the hotel. It was one of those things that I couldn't shake off for at least 2 to 3 weeks, and I still have a hard time with it. I still think, did that really happen to me? I mean, I'm still kind of like flabbergasted over it. And I have to work with Doug Carnahan, and I have worked with Devin and Lisa Ludwig that helped me get through this. And even Michelle LeBaron tried to help me. It was one of those things that oh, and Ellen McFarland, that's right. Ellen totally helped me. I totally forgot. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Ellen, I didn't mean to forget you. But it devastated me, and I thought I was prepared. So even if you think you're prepared, you might not be. That's the point that I'm trying to cross. It's one of those things that you just don't know what's going to happen. I now could say that I know about extreme survival, nothing compared to what some of my friends have gone through. You know, some of the people, the professionals in our field have gone through, seen, heard, and done. But I know my experience left a mark on me that I will never, ever forget, ever.
Wow. That sounds like a pretty gnarly experience then. Wow. And that happened at Virginia City or somewhere else?
Yeah, It happened at the Virginia City at the Delta, and right outside the chapel. And it's right, I think you and I interviewed out there one time during one of the conferences, and it happened right there.
Yeah.
And to this day, I have a hard time going up there. I have a hard time even walking by that place because it just, I remember that fear. And, I mean, I'm still fearful of how that happened. I'm still kind of like trying to second guess myself. What didn't I do right?
Ah. Well, it's another thing when you're trying to do protection. You can do all kinds of stuff, but it's all about the right combination. Or even if you're getting distracted and letting your guard down for a second, something can still attach itself to you or find a way. Because that's all it's doing. It's trying to find the energy off you for one, and then trying to go, if it can attach itself to you and leave a premises with you, it gets a chance to venture out and see what's going on. And you know, a lot of, and this is something that's very common. A lot of times we go home after investigations, even though we prepare ourselves for it and cleanse ourselves afterwards, we still take some of that energy home with us. And it can last, you know, a few days or maybe longer sometimes. Unfortunately, the experiences I've had have only lasted, you know, about a week. We took a spirit of an investigation that we did. We actually took a spirit of a cat home with us. You met Steve, my camera guy that was doing the interviews.
Right.
He was, we were both in an apartment just watching TV doing stuff. He was on his laptop doing something, and I was watching TV, and I could see out of the corner of my eye, I swear, it was the biggest long-haired black cat I ever seen in my life. I saw the corner of my eye like something was moving, and I kind of just, I knew if I looked directly at it, it's just going to pop away. So I kept looking at the TV, trying to focus on what's moving in the corner of my eye, and I could see this thing kind of, you know how they get close to you, then they do that weird long stretch before they get closer to you? It was doing that, and I'm like, what? And so I just turned to look again, it was gone, and I said, huh, that was weird. And then he goes, what, that cat? I'm like, dude, did you see that too? And he's like, dude, I saw it, but I wasn't going to say anything. And it was huge, right? So it's there. We both saw it. And then in our kitchen, we could hear, like, things being knocked off the counter, like empty soda cans being thrown on the floor. It sounded like someone was digging through the trash. I was like, what's going on? And it lasted, like, 3 or 4 days. And
oh
we went
God.
To, after we were done with the case, we went to a barbecue with the client. And then me and another investigator were talking about that situation, and the client kind of walked up and heard us talking about that. And I said, yeah, it was a weird experience we had at my house after we left here, where there was this long-haired black cat, you know, looked kind of old. It was light gray, right, you know, light black kind of charcoal-looking cat. And she goes, that sounds like Fluffy. She disappeared about 2 years ago.
Oh,
like,
man.
Well, Fluffy's doing good, digging through the trash in my kitchen, but yeah. But this stuff kind of happens. You can take stuff home with you, and it'll be there a couple of days. It happens all the time.
Exactly. And I think the more you open yourself up to the paranormal or to the other side, shall we say, I think the more experiences you have, and good experiences and bad experiences, and that's what you need to realize, is not everything is going to be glitter and unicorns. It's just not. And you need to be aware of that. I now challenge myself when we do an investigation. I kind of try to feel the energy a little bit more, a little bit better, because I was just not prepared for that incident at all. And I, like I said, I'm still trying to figure out, did I do something wrong? Did I not do something wrong? Where did this come from? Because I'm a strong person. I'm a strong personality. And Devin and Doug both said, and Ellen came back to me and said, it is because you're a strong personality. And they wanted to take you down to show your team that even the strongest can go down. They've since tried to conquer this dude, this evil spirit that's there. And I hope to God that they did. I hope he's gone and banished forever, because I don't want him to ever attack anybody ever again. I mean, I know just in the middle part what he did to me was totally messed up.
Absolutely. And that way you can warn the people about that because, you know, you are a strong personality and maybe that's what it is. They get these guys of these energies that think they're all tough and stuff. And they're looking for the main person. Who's the toughest one on the team. I'm going to take them out first just to show how tough I am. You know, if they don't get you the first time, they're going to keep trying and try to wear you down. But, you know, and that's just shows, you know, they're trying to do that because there's something about you that makes you threatening to them, you know?
Right.
So the more you push back on them, the more they're going to realize it. And the second time you go back there and you're like, hey dude, don't even think about messing with me this time. You know, then all of a sudden they're like, oh man, she knows. And you know, they know
exactly.
They go for the
she
next
got
person.
Personality. She got my number now. It's like,
yeah, that didn't work. All right. Who's next? Who's the second one?
Yeah.
You just got to be prepared for that.
Exactly. I've always promoted my team as love and light. You know, we don't look for the darkness at all. We try not to. Not to say that some of our members are a little bit more darker than what I would normally go into, but I have always promoted myself and Jilly as love and light, and that's how I've always gone into an investigation. Like, nothing could touch me because I have the light of God around me and the love of God around me. But I'll be damned if that night, right before it happened, I was talking to one of my members that was going through something, and I said, you know, me and God are having issues right now. And I think at that point is when I let my guard down, because I've always believed in the white light of God protecting me. And I went into the chapel with that thought in my head, and that's the only thing in my mind that can process of why it happened to me, and that I was a leader, and that, you know, even the leaders can go down. And then I think about it, and I think about Doug Carnahan being the extreme survivor, and Devin and Ellen being extreme survivors. And I'm thinking, you know, they are the probably strongest personalities I have ever been in contact with in a great way. And they are love and light, but they also have survived extreme attacks. And it just really made me think that even though I'm love and light, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have to really know what you're getting into.
Absolutely. I protect myself all the time, and I've been doing this since the beginning of time. And it still happens to me. I've been bitten. I've been scratched. I've been punched right in the face by nothing. I mean, it's pretty gnarly. And like I said, you don't know what to expect. And that's why I was saying about the junior kids, I don't want to put them in that kind of environment until they're ready and they understand the dangers and learn, have a good sense of protection and guarding themselves, you know. It's not just about saging yourself or having a certain amulet. There's a whole mindset practice of protecting yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my junior division, the two juniors that run it, they're not juniors anymore, they're over 18, but they're strong kids. And they are empaths and they're sensitive. And so they understand that this could be very fun or it could be very dangerous. So they really try to work with the kids that are interested in it. And we really try to watch and protect them. And I will not put them in danger, whether that be a physical danger or a mental danger. I just won't do it.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's both traumatic either way. You got to protect yourself. And that's
absolutely
good that the juniors are getting older, because they'll be the mentors for the next generation to come. They'll be talking about their experiences, what they went through and had to learn. So
absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about some of the events coming up. I know you've been really busy, and I've seen that quite a few events that are happening with you. So let's talk about the next one that's coming up for you.
Well, the next one that's coming up is our Haunted Tahoe Biltmore Para Retreat. Northern Nevada Ghost Hunters and Devel Productions, or Napa Ghost, we're co-hosting with them. And it's going to be at the North Tahoe Biltmore. And I'm very excited about that, because this is probably the biggest event I've ever been involved with, or my team has ever been involved with. And it's phenomenal. We've got some great names coming with us. John Zaffis, Darkness, Dave Schrader, Jay and Marie Yates, Karen Rentowski, Paranormal Karen, We've got Jeff Mudgett. We've got all these wonderful people that are going to be part of this event. Friday night is going to be one big party, and we're going to have some, like, a murder mystery-type game and whatnot. And then Saturday we have over 40 vendors. Can you believe that? 40 vendors.
Wow.
Of the paranormal
ball happening.
Right. I mean, it is crazy. I do have to shout out, we've got a great coordinator right now, Nadine, who's on our team, also our secretary of our team. She's been, like, really pushing these vendors and trying to get them all set up. And I'm telling you, and Ellen getting all the sponsors that we have and the vendors that we have, and Devin with the talent, and Julie and I are both just like going, oh, my God, what are we doing? But it's going to be a thing to remember. I mean, this is going to be probably one of the biggest events on the West Coast that people are going to talk about for days, because Ellen and Devin, when you team up with them, they don't do things small at all. They do things huge. And just going on their tours, I have the utmost respect for them. So to pair up with them, to get a California team and a Nevada team together on that border is going to be phenomenal. We're going to end Saturday night with an overnight investigation of the whole hotel. The Biltmore has closed it completely down except for the casino floor. It's very haunted. It's in a remarkable place, and I'm very much excited about that. Am I forgetting anything about the Biltmore? No, I'm very excited. We're almost to the point where we're sold out. I mean, I cannot believe how many people are requesting to talk to us about it. We're also going to do a seance, I think, a midnight seance that Ellen and Marie Dana is putting on. And those two alone, when they put a seance on, it's out the door. I'm just so excited about that. That's our first event. That's September 7th, 8th, and 9th. And, again, it's at the Haunted Tahoe Biltmore. If anybody's interested in the last five or six tickets that we have, go to www.laughingdevelle.com for the tickets, or hit us up on Facebook, Ellen or me, Jadine, or Jilly or Devin, and we'll hook you up with that. Our next one after that is the world's largest ghost hunt. We're part of this huge thing that's going on. We're doing the Donovan Mill in Silver City, Nevada, and it's going to be a fundraiser for our beloved Comstock Foundation. That's Saturday, September 29th. Again, if you're interested in that, hit me up on Facebook or go to our www.nngh.net for tickets. And those tickets are really cheap, aren't they, Julie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After that is, dun-dun-dun, our Haunted Comstock at the Gold Hill Hotel. And, Stefan, I am so excited that you're coming to this. We also have Doug Carnahan, Dawn, Dana. I cannot say her name for anything. Marie, Dana, and Lisa Ludwig. We're going to have spirit readings. We're going to have seance. They're closing down the whole hotel for us. We're going to do meet
wow.
and greet. I know. I'm real excited about that. We have right now, we have room 10, no, maybe 11, 4, 5, Miner's Cabin, Brewery Lodge, Donovan Mill. We almost have this other location, which I can't say right yet until we get it completely there. Mm-hmm. David Deerfeeder is going to be there, Marie Dana, Lisa Ludwig, Stephen Pergotti, Doug Carnahan, and all of the proceeds for that will go to the Comstock Foundation. And then,
cool.
Right, after that, we're going to take a little bit of a hiatus, and we're going to do some celebrating ourselves. And I think we're going to go to Doug Carnahan's Kennedy Mine event that he's having. I'm real excited about that, where we're just going to be a vendor, and then we'll have our hiatus for a couple of months. But this year has been the year for the Comstock Foundation for us. Remarkable Comstock Foundation. I mean, they're preserving the Comstock. period. They do whatever they can to preserve whatever they can up there. And right now our focus is the Donovan Mill, which is very, very haunted. So that's exciting.
I haven't been to the Donovan Mill yet, so I'm pretty excited about checking that kind of stuff out. That'll be great. And are you going?
Yeah.
You're going to Doug's Paracon, the motherlode, right?
Correct. Yeah. I'm not speaking, but I'm going to be a vendor there, and you know, that's usually when we kind of like network out and see who's available and who wants to kind of come up and join the team or pair up with us. I truly believe in working with other teams. Only because I like to learn from them and I like them to see how we work. And in that way, we could kind of bounce ideas off of each other. So it'll be kind of a fun event and I won't have to work it. Doug, please don't make me work it, okay?
Yeah, Doug. Come on now. It's party time. She's worked the weekend before, working hard. Yeah, so I'll be there as well. I'm doing two weekends back to back. I'm going to come up and see you at Virginia City, and then the week after, I'm going to Jackson.
Wow.
So that's going to be awesome. Yeah, that's a lot of driving for me, but it'll be good.
Exactly. Well, you know, as a paranormal investigator, that's what we do is we get in the car and road trip, you know. I love it.
You have the meetings on the way up there.
There you go. The other thing that we also do for the Comstock Foundation is twice a month we do the Gold Hill Ghost Tours. And I have to tell you, when they asked us to join their be consultants and come in and do their ghost tours, I thought, you know, this will be fun. And, you know, a couple people will show up because we've been on other ghost tours up there and just usually a couple people show up. We have sold out every single time where we thought we were only going to have 10, 15 people. No, we have 30, 35 people. And it is so much fun because not only do we get to network out about, you know, the Comstock Foundation, we get to network out and talk to people that are interested in the history of the Comstock or Gold Hill area, Slippery Gulch. We get to talk to them about paranormal investigations. And almost every single time, people come up and tell us stories about what they've experienced up at Gold Hill or Virginia City. And we could take that and really kind of feed off of that and see if we could validate any of that. And we've been able to. And it's just, it's so much fun. And we've made so much money for the Comstock Foundation. And I'm so excited about that because it's just one of those things that I'm very passionate about saving our Comstock. So we do that on the second and fourth Thursday of every month. And then the first and third Thursday, they have the Comstock Lecture Series, which is also fascinating because it's usually about the Comstock. So if y'all are in the area, you know, hit us up because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be great. And, you know, I'm not surprised that you're getting a lot of people signing up for the ghost tours and stuff because, for, you know, it's the Gold Hill. It's got so many legends about it. It's the first one that's coming in through the canyon that you come into, the first real hotel up there. And the history of that building alone in the Yellow Jacket Mine is just incredible. But they've never really had anybody there previous to do what you guys are doing for them. So it's really a great thing. You're helping them out. You're helping preserve the history of the hotel. You know, and you're giving those people who've always wanted to learn more about that location a chance to do exactly that. You've added to the richness of the history and the culture there at the Gold Hill. And, you know, so congratulations to you guys on such a good job.
Thank you. You know, it, like I said, we started it out as fun, and it has just become bigger and better and more fun, and we're bringing people to the Comstock that have never been to the Comstock. Almost every tour, we have people that have come from San Diego, people that come from Las Vegas, people that have come from even, I think someone came from Colorado the other day, and it was like, really? Just for our little tour? Texas? I mean, it's amazing that we've reached out that far to people, and they've heard about it. And I don't want to say anything bad about, like, the Carson City Ghost Tour. Phenomenal. Mary Bennett puts on the best ghost tour in Nevada when it comes to theatrical and just fun. It is just fun, and that's what I kind of base it off of, is I want it to be fun. I want people to come up and say, you know, where can I buy this Slippery Gulch book? Where can I find out about more history? Where, here's $20. Give it to the Comstock Foundation. That's what I want to do, is I want to just kind of feed into our Comstock and save our Comstock, because I want my grandkids and my grandkids' grandkids to have the Comstock to enjoy. And you got 38 people that died right there on the spot. You got Eileen Bowers that used to do readings right there in the hotel. They had a clairvoyant physician. We've done our research, and we're still continuing to do our research. Every time we hear a new story, we're up at the Historical Society trying to figure out, is this the truth? Where did this folklore come from? And let me tell you, we're finding out more and more about Gold Hill and how it had to do with the Comstock history.
And that's awesome. The more you guys are learning, the more you can tell the people, and it just enriches the whole the legend of the Comstock, because it's, you know, it's not a big area, but so much has happened within that area. It's incredible. Even the underground tunnels and stuff, and the Chinese used to have to go use all that stuff. You know, that's a huge thing that nobody ever talks about, which I think is incredible history.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much history up there, so much rich history that, like, Virginia City kind of built, helped San Francisco build, or you know, it gave money for the United States to be built on. And there's just so much rich history. We were able to do a dinner at the Lynch House, which is now a private residence, but we did a after-hours dinner underneath the stars, and we had a historian come in and tell history about it. And it's like every time I listen to my historian who's on our team, I find out something new, and it's like then I have to go and read the book, and it's like, oh yeah, there it is, it's right there. And then I'll go up to the Historical Society and I'll find an article, and I'm like, oh, there it is. It's like, it's just amazing to know such rich history is there.
Yeah, it's incredible. It makes it exciting. The more you learn about it, you're like, oh really? And you just get so much more excited about it. I'm really happy that we get a chance to go up there, you know, every year and do some events up there. I'm glad you guys are there, so that's really cool. You know, I have no problem going to Virginia City ever. You could just say, hey, we're doing another event, come up, and I will be there. And on that note, next time you do the Biltmore, let me know about that, because I've never been out there, and I'd like to go check that out.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's only going to be there for the next 5 years, and then they're going to tear it down and build some condominiums there. So we're kind of blessed that they called us in when they did, because it's fortunate enough that it's in between Nevada and California, that it's right there, and it's 2 blocks away from Lake Tahoe. And it's just an amazing old, I don't want to say old,
historic
place. That
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could just walk around and just feel the history there. And I have to share, like, a small story. When we were doing the vendor setup and we were trying to figure out where we were going to put the tables and how many vendors we could get in there, we took Jilly's boss, Mary, there. And Mary is a war vet, and she was, like, telling us when she was a kid that she used to sit on the casino stairs and watch her mom and dad gamble. And there was one time that a person had died right there on the casino floor, and she sat there for hours and hours watching this dead body, because at the time they didn't have a coroner to come up and grab this dead body. So they just kind of threw a blanket over him, roped him off. And it's stories like this that this is firsthand experiences. This is what she saw, what she lived. And to know that kind of history, that this spirit could definitely be wandering around. I'm not to say that it is, but it's one of those things that you always wonder, like, wow, this really happened here. And how many other things happened here that we don't know about yet? And I just can't wait for people to experience that. I think it's going to be amazing. There's one room there. It's a weird room. It's on the third floor, I believe. And it looks like it was once a hotel room, but they converted it to kind of like an office space or a storage space. It's almost like a vortex in there. You walk in and you just get this overwhelming feeling. Everybody I've taken in there, they just stand there going, I don't know what to feel here. It's one of those numbing feelings, and you're like, you know, you could be high and happy, and you walk in there, and you're like, wow. So I'm anxious to see how other people react. So definitely,
wow.
I mean, you know, we'll be doing events there every year for the next 5 years or until they kick us out. Please don't kick us out, but, you know, definitely you've got to come up and check it out. I think it'll be fun.
I totally agree. I would love to come up there and check that out. So keep me on the list for the next time. That'd be cool.
Oh, you got it. You got it. You hear that, Ellen? Let's write it down.
Yeah. I'll tell her when I see her, when I go up there, and we'll talk about it.
There
Maybe we can
go.
Come out there and do some filming. That would be great.
There you go.
For those of you listening out there, you're listening to My Darkest Hour Radio. We're spending some time with Jadine Solberg from Northern Nevada Ghost Hunters, talking about some of the great adventures, including the upcoming Paracon, a haunting on the Comstock Hills. JD, we've only got a few minutes left. How can somebody reach out to you and find out more about you and your team and what you guys are up to?
Well, you could either email me at iGhostHunt@gmail.com, or you could go to our website, which is www.nngh.net. We're on Facebook under Northern Nevada Ghost Hunters, or my name, Jadine, or Jill Smith. You know, we love for people to reach out to us, even if they have stories or if they're interested in the paranormal or they just are curious about some of our events. So I encourage everybody to reach out. And if we're not local enough for you, reach out to a local team. There are so many great teams out there, and there's so many great people out there, either they are in California, Nevada, wherever. So do your research.
That's right. And once again, Haunting on the Comstock Hills is coming up. I will be there. I'll be doing some interviews and some recording, and I will be doing a live broadcast and streaming live from the event on Saturday. So you guys could go to liveparanormal.com or hit me up on My Darkest Hour on Facebook, where we will be streaming, hanging out with Jimmy and everybody from the team, having a good time up on the Comstock. And like I said, we can't wait to see you, so it's going to be real exciting.
I'm real excited about this. It's usually our biggest event of the year. We try to do it off with a bang. The Biltmore has kind of taken over on us this year, but I expect to sell out very quickly because I'm getting emails every day about the Haunting on the Comstock. Now, there are only a few tickets that we're going to sell because I wanted to keep it small and intimate. So if you're interested in getting up there, hit us up right away because we're going to start closing it off once we get close.
Nice. All right, so keep that in mind, you guys. You guys go to their website at www.nngh.net. You can look at special events and see what's happening in that area. If you are coming from out of town, I suggest looking at it and planning for it because it's a great a weekend away to have a real good time investigating with some really incredible people. So that's going to be it for the show. Jadine, thank you so much for spending time with us, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys.
Oh, thank you, Stefan. You know, I can't wait to give you a big hug, give your beautiful wife a big hug from me and Jilly, and we love you guys. Thanks so much for having us on the show.
Absolutely, and we'll see you guys soon. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Bye.
And that's going to be it for My Darkest Hour Radio right here on liveparanormal.com. Thank you to all the mediators, the chat room, all the people that make it work. Shout out to our sponsors, Mike at P-Tech, giving us those lights and the great gadgets that we use to keep us from hurting ourselves in the dark out there. Also, I want to say thanks to Chili Man Salsa, C-H-I-L-I-I-M-A-N, Paranormally Hot Salsa. You go to chiliman.net and put in your orders for that stuff. Also, I want to say give a shout-out to Liz Johnson at Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creation, keeping us warm and keeping us safe, making all those great products for us to wear on those investigations, like when it's cold out, sometimes like in Virginia City, when it's snowing. So keep that in mind, people. If you're going to go out there and investigate this weekend, remember to investigate safe, and we will see you guys next time right here on LiveParanormal.com.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Bregotti on LiveParanormal.com.